apologies, thank you, for the late start caused by, I think, what's called a technical glitch. Let me open the meeting of the Waverley Local Planning Panel for the 26th of June 2019 and start by introducing the members of today's panel. My name is Paul Steen, I'm the chair. On my left is Mr. Michael Harrison, expert member. My immediate right is Miss Alison Small, a community member, and my far right is Miss Jan Burrell, expert member. I ask the members of the panel to disclose any conflicts of interest they may have in relation to each and every item on the agenda.
No conflict.
No conflicts?
No conflict.
Thank you.
No conflict.
That will be noted. Well, we can start straight in on the agenda. The first item is 5 and 5A St Thomas Street, Bronte. And the speakers, a number of speakers. The first one I have is Luella Griffiths. Would you come forward, please, ma'am?
Sorry, where am I meant to?
So just have a seat there. And your name is Luella Griffiths.
Correct.
And you're from... You're representing the owners of 7 Thomas Street?
Correct.
Yes, please go ahead.
So I'm the architect for number 7 St Thomas Street, and as you just stated, I'm representing the owners, which is located adjacent to the south side boundary of number 5A. The proposal for 5 and 5A St Thomas Street includes a number of elements which would adversely affect my client's property. Many of these impacts are raised in the council's report. To the panel. These include the pool being proposed in the front garden, the excessive GFA, particularly due to the subfloor storage area being incorrectly excluded, which adds to the already inconsistent bulk and scale, and the significant height breaches and unsympathetic side and rear setbacks, all of which contribute to a very large bulk, which would dramatically affect the overshadowing and privacy to the primary living rooms. And outdoor entertaining spaces of number 7 St Thomas Street, which, as I stated, is located directly to the south of the proposal. In addition to these impacts that are outlined in the council report, my clients are particularly concerned by the proposed removal and extensive damage to the 4 established trees, which are located along the shared boundary of 5A and number 7. During the design process of number 7, which is currently having alterations and additions completed, an arborist report by Botanics was prepared and described the 3 large banksias as in good health, having high level of significance, amenity and ecological value, and part of a stand of local native trees that are part of the site's remnant plant community. However, the arborist report prepared for number 5, 5A application places no value on these trees, and is supportive of extreme works proposed. The proposal requests to remove tree 4, which is a very significant banksia located just on the 5A side of the fence. It also proposed to remove a significant proportion of the roots and crown of trees 1, 2 and 3, which are located on the number 7 side of the fence, which partially overhang the boundary. The proposal requests to remove between 15 and 70% of the crown of all 3 trees, and to excavate within the structural root zone of all 3 trees. The proposed works would significantly undermine the structural integrity of these trees and would have detrimental impact on their chances of survival. It is requested that the proposal be significantly amended to reduce the impact on the amenity to number 7, and that the existing trees along the shared boundary are protected to preserve the visual amenity, privacy and bird habitat currently enjoyed by the owners of number 7. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There may be some questions. Any questions for Ms. Griffiths? Thank you very much. Mr. Greg Tomaszuk, come forward, please, sir. And have a seat. And your name is Greg Tomaszuk, and you're from 27A Yanko.
That's correct, yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so our property faces immediately to the west of the development, proposed development. First, I wanted to apologise to the panel this morning and I think Bridget, because I couldn't quite get access. My daughter was doing an exam.
It's not a problem, don't worry about it.
Look, the report covered everything really well from my reading of it yesterday. I just wanted to highlight the overbearing nature of the view impact of the structure and the proposed tree planting. So they're all detailed quite well in the proposal. For our property, we would, if it was to go ahead as it is, we'd probably lose 85 to 90% of our ocean views, which are quite significant. So look, we noted that everyone wants to grow trees and that. I'm a gardener, I love it myself, but I wouldn't grow trees to block out someone else's view. I'd put them in front of my property where it impacts my view, therefore I manage it. So that was one sort of concern we had. And then over the whole design size of the building, being an engineer myself, we wouldn't let something like this go through the first hurdle because it was too big and didn't meet the clearly stated rules. And having said that, there was no real consultation with any of the neighbours, and a lot of this might have been able to be fine-tuned before coming to the panel and a better development proposal put forward. So we wanted to note that as well. Look, I think that's about it. The report covers things quite well, but yeah, we just feel that people are tending to push the envelope, so to speak, in all their developments. I'm not sure where that originates from, but it seems like it's a spiral to the bottom in selfishness, and it tends to destroy the nice environment we live in around Bronte and Waverley, and the whole eastern seaboard, really. And I'm glad that was noted in the report and highlighted by the council presenter.
Thank you. Are there any questions of this gentleman? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a representative from the Bronte Beach precinct? Come forward, please. Have a seat. And if you could give us your name, please.
My name's Virginia Milson.
Sorry, Ursula?
No, Virginia.
Virginia.
Milson, and I'm convener of the Bronte Beach precinct.
Right, thank you.
And were we just reflecting and echoing others' concerns. We had one, two, three, four major concerns. The first one is height. Given that it is 2 metres over, particularly number 5A is 2 metres over the recommended height. And number 5B...
Well, it's not the recommended height.
Sorry, it's
the
LEP.
Is the development standard.
Well, it's the LEP.
Yes, it's the development standard, which
right.
says that you can't exceed that development
that's
standard
right.
unless
that's
you
right.
satisfy the decision maker by a clause 4.6 variation that it's unreasonable and unnecessary to comply.
Yes, that's right. So we have major problems with that because we believe that it will really impact on the streetscape. And as it is, and you've no doubt been to the site, so as it is, site's very sloping, so therefore with this development on the top it's going to have even a greater impact in terms of its bulk and the way and its impact on the streetscape. The balconies we had concerns about because they are over the recommended size in the DCP, over double the size, and of course you know, recommendations for balconies are obviously for the amenity of nearby residents, and it obviously encourages greater use of them, and therefore, you know, deleterious impacts on others nearby. The swimming pool at the front we had concerns about. It's fairly standard for swimming pools to go at to be located at the rear of the house. For obvious reasons, and it will also have impact on the streetscape and also, you know, just the general address of the property because, you know, it'll require extra fencing, which means it's not a very welcome way to arrive at a house with a whole lot of fencing around a pool. And finally, tree removal, Banksia and the Gonus flexuosa. The Banksia is an advanced tree, and we find around Bronte the loss of vegetation is hardly a day goes by that there isn't a request to remove more trees, and it will have a significant impact on our wildlife, which, you know, and we do have birds and we do have possums, and they'll all be impacted. And it seems to me that, you know, when you're building these buildings, these things should be considered in the context of the whole. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the members of the panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Brad Delapierre. Come forward and have a seat, please. And your name is Brad Delapierre, and you're a town planner on appearing on behalf of the owners of number 25 Yanko Avenue.
That's correct, Chair.
Yes.
So you're right, I'm a town planning consultant representing 5A Thomas Street. Sorry, 25 Yanko Street.
25 Yanko Avenue.
Yeah. Apologies for that. As outlined on the photos on page 3 and 14 of the report before you, our client's property benefits from iconic views over Sydney landmarks, including the North Bondi and North Bronte headlands, as well as the ocean. The proposed development that seeks approval to construct 2 3- to 4-storey dwellings would substantially obstruct these iconic views. Given that the view loss has not been appropriately quantified by the proposal and is predominantly a result of the proposed height and FSR departures, we agree completely with the council officer's recommendations that this application should be refused. As outlined in our objection letter that's summarised in the council report, we would welcome the sensitive redevelopment of these properties in accordance with the applicable planning controls. The current development, in our minds, is an inappropriate response to the site's opportunities, and we urge the panel to support the recommendation for refusal. In the event that the applicant speaks after me and requests a deferral of the application, I urge that the panel not agree to this, as the proposal, in my opinion, requires a substantial redesign that would warrant re-notification and a complete reassessment rather than a minor tweaking of the design. Thank you for listening to me. I'd be happy to answer any questions panel members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Delapierre. Any questions, this gentleman? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chris Seaton. Come forward and have a seat, please.
Thank you.
And your name is Chris Seaton from 3A St Thomas Street.
That's right.
Yes, please go ahead.
We live immediately to the north of the proposed development, 3A St Thomas Street, Bronte. I live there with my wife and 2 kids. When we built our house there 10 years ago, because we thought it was the right thing to do, we ensured that we were 100% compliant with council regulations, and we went to enormous efforts to do that. And in our design, we considered the interest of our neighbours, and we're quite proud of our beachside design, which we think fits very well with the Bronte aesthetic. I think that contrasts starkly with this proposal, which seems to be highly non-compliant and looks like a huge sprawling bunker-style house, a sort of monolith. And it seems that residential building proposals in Bronte these days, as mentioned by the initial speaker from Yanko Avenue, seems to be aimed often at building the biggest place that you can get away with to maximise capital returns. Strange as this may sound, despite seeing our neighbours 2-3 times a week, they have not once uttered a single word to Ginny or I about their building plans, either before or after the DA is submitted. And I think this radio silence reflects a zero consideration for neighbours. And this too is reflected in their design. As outlined in our written submission, there's a huge amenity impact on us, particularly in regards to our backyard, privacy, overlook and so on. Also detailed in our written submission, the compliance breaches that are particularly concerned to our family relate to the building height standard, the wall height, the potential exclusion of habitable areas from the GFR FSR calculations, which could be an attempt to, in a way, reduce the level of non-compliance. Thank you once again for allowing me to speak. I hope this proposal is as unacceptable to you as it is to us. and we ask that you reject it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seaton. Are there any questions of this gentleman? Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Mr. Michael McCormick. Come forward and have a seat, please. And your name is Michael McCormick, and are you the architect for the applicant?
That's correct.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. McCormick.
Good morning, panel. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to address you. Can I just question whether you have received the late correspondence that we sent through?
Yes.
So, more or less, I'm here to reiterate that request in the letter. So I'm not going to talk about the specifics. The neighbours have certainly expressed their opinions. However, I'd like to try one last time to move the application forward without resorting to a court appeal. It's worth restating the course of the DA application for a bit of context here. It took 7.5 months for council to provide any feedback on the application. There was no request for the additional information, or for any additional information in this time, so the documents were not lacking. When the feedback eventually came, it included a statement that the FSR was calculated incorrectly. We disputed this because we don't believe that FSR should be calculated if it's a storeroom and it's less than a metre out of the ground. We also don't believe that FSR should be calculated if it's not an enclosed space, and both of these were the case with the application. We tried very hard to talk to the council about that, but we could not manage to actually get any sort of agreement from them, neither did they disagree. All they did was just not take it into account and continue to say that we were exceeding the FSR. So we asked to meet on 3 occasions, and each time a meeting was refused over the space of the month since we actually received the deferral letter. We were then given 2 days to lodge a revised application without knowing which rules to work within, because council was not applying the written rules of the LEP. One meeting, we believe, may have had a real chance of resolving some of the issues with regards to height, setback, FSR, in one go, but we never were given the chance of that, and now we're looking at a hearing and the expense that and the time that's required for both council and us to go to a hearing. In more than 20 years of practice, I've never experienced such a protracted delay of 7.5 months from council and then stonewalling requests for a meeting to resolve things. Thus, in one last effort to try and get this application back on track before we end up with an appeal, I'd ask that the panel consider a deferral of this application, and crucially, that the panel directs the council planning officers to actually sit down and meet with us to try and resolve this before it ends up at a court. Ironically, and unfortunately, I'm about to leave the country in 2 days for the next 3 weeks, so if council does decide to allow this deferral, I would ask that it happens after, that the meeting with council happens after I return.
Thank you. Mr. McCormick, we will consider the request for a deferral, but I wanted to make one comment clear that in relation to the issue of the FSR, which you mentioned, if the applicant is incorrect on its assertion and the council is correct on its assertion, and I'm not saying that we've made any ruling on it, but if that eventuates, there's nothing we could do for you if we determine the matter today, because it wouldn't matter if it was the most beautiful development in the world. We would have no jurisdiction without a clause 4.6 variation to consider.
Well, the 4.6 variation was requested by council because council believed that the floor space exceeded the control. We don't believe that it exceeds the control.
I understand that. What I'm saying to you is, if your side is wrong and the council is right about the FSR, we don't have any jurisdiction. It's as simple as that.
I understand.
Without a clause 4.6 to consider.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the members of the panel?
One question.
Yes?
One of the issues we've heard from neighbours is, I guess, overlooking and privacy. Mm-hmm. And along the side boundaries, the windows seem quite large, and apart from, I guess, to the views end of the development, the windows are set in slightly. And also notice, I understand that the top floor doesn't comply with side setbacks. Are there any comments on that? Because it's quite crucial, being a long building and adjacent to neighbours, why you've chosen not to comply with side setbacks?
With side setbacks, we went and assessed the overshadowing, and we determined that the overshadowing, we were in compliance with the controls for overshadowing in terms of time. So we felt that we were not overshadowing unnecessarily. The side setbacks are also, they're larger than what they're required to be in certain circumstances, and they are certainly smaller in certain other circumstances. So in terms of the numerical compliance, yes, there are locations along the side which are not numerically compliant, but I think the average setback is greater than the requirement set out, and in a number of locations it's just simply greater. Like we end up with 2 metres rather than 1.5 metres, for example, in a number of locations where it really sort of matters, which is on the entrance to the dwellings on both sides. The question of privacy or overlooking, we felt that we were overlooking the next door neighbour's roof to the north and not into the next door neighbour's house. The next door neighbour has a large frosted glass window, so there didn't really seem to be much point in frosting our windows when theirs has already been frosted. And again, I suppose they're also from bedrooms. They're not from, you know, primary living areas. The kitchen on our northern dwelling, which overlooks the northern neighbour, again, it overlooks the roof. We're looking at a roof. We're not looking down at windows. So in plan, yes, it looks like we're looking at people, but in reality, in section, we're not.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. McCormick.
Thank you.
Mr. Matthew Deniker?
No, he's not.
He will not? Okay,
no,
thank you. Wasn't sure. At the conclusion of the public meeting, we will consider this application and notify our decision on the council website as soon as may be possible. The next application we'll move to is 8 to 10 Knotts Avenue, Bondi Beach. There is nobody registered to speak. Unless anybody in the chamber wishes to address us on this matter, we will consider it later and notify our decision on the council website as soon as may be possible. We can move then to item 3, which is 34A Francis Street, also known as 43A Denham Street, Bondi Beach. And Mr. Graham Levy is the first speaker that I have registered to speak. Mr. Levy present? No? All right. Mr. David Doyle, come forward please and have a seat.
Hello.
Have a seat. Your name is David Doyle and you're from apartment 6, number 34 Francis Street.
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Thanks for coming by for the site visit today. And as you can see, our apartment is about 3 metres from all the work that's going to be done. So it impacts us greatly, particularly with the sunlight and privacy, with the new windows that are coming in on the east side, and that change on the back of the house, where it's built up into that block. Can you see that? It will cause more overshadowing, and also the windows look directly into my son's bedroom. Also on the application it said that they deleted the rooftop terrace, but in the photo montage, it's still there. and on section 3 of the plans, it's still listed in the front of the house, or pardon me, in front of the building. They've never approached us and told us about the DA. It was only through neighbors that had heard about it, grumblings a year and a half ago, that we heard about the first DA, and it was because we objected to that that we've heard about the second one. The applicants never contacted the residents of the building, so it's just only by happenstance that we know about this, and we've had issues with their construction in the past. There was an 8-month-long renovation in 2015 where they continually pushed the boundaries of starting early, ending late, machinery that had alarms going off during the night, stuff like that. So it's not like the applicants really have good intentions towards the community, or they have ambivalent intentions. Things like the outdoor shower, it's just another thing that's adding more noise to the already crowded block. If you remember, it's all stone and tile that's there, so the sound just reverberates. We can already hear casual conversations in the apartments across the way. The rooftop deck above the garage that's there already sounds, even when people are just out there chatting casually, not even playing music, we hear every word they say. So any more expansion in outdoor space from that building, it's just going to make the whole little cluster that much more unlivable. And is there any time frame that they have for the project? I couldn't see that in the details.
Any what?
Time frame for the project. Like, how long will it be going on?
Well, that's out of our control.
Okay.
And if approval is given, that approval lasts for a period of 5 years, and it has to be substantially commenced within that time, otherwise the approval lapses. But as to how long the project would take, I couldn't comment.
All right. I just didn't know if that was something that was in those application documents, and I just overlooked it.
No,
whether it was
going to
be.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle.
Thank you.
Any questions of this gentleman? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Mr. Frederick Kakish.
Frederick's not here today, I'll be speaking.
Okay, are you Matthew Stubbs?
Yes.
Yes, please come forward.
Thank you.
And your name is Matthew Stubbs?
Yes.
From 43A Denman Street.
Yes,
on
so I'm the architect.
The architect.
On behalf of
right.
the owner.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be short today because we're quite happy with the council's recommended approval. I will address the objector if you have any questions related to it, but I actually do feel like the report has covered all of his questions. One thing that he did raise, just so there's no confusion, there is no rooftop terrace that's being cut out, and also the rear terraces on the next level down, the council has recommended those for deletion as part of the DA conditions, and we're happy with those as well. The backstory is that we did over design the property, and we've worked very closely with council to pull it back to a building which is really a lot smaller, and it actually respects the heritage nature of the building and the streetscape, and we're quite happy to go along with council's redesign that we work quite closely with them to do. So unless you have any questions, I'll just leave
thank
council's
you.
Report
Mr. Stubbs,
to speak for itself.
Questions of Mr. Stubbs? Sorry? Yes, look, one of the things when we come to consider this that we wanted to consider is the geotechnical issue.
Yep.
Because there does seem to be cracking in the front wall and other issues relating to some of that building.
Yeah, there was a... sorry.
So now you go ahead.
A lot of the cracking was before we did the before the client did the emergency works, which was a few years ago. So when the objector was talking before about the last round of works, there was a big subsidence on the property. And so there was a large amount of retaining work done and a large work in the front and the backyard, and that's all been rectified. So the cracks are still in the building because obviously we were going to renovate the building later. So the cracks are a representation of what's actually being fixed and not going forward. Also on the geotech report, we were proposing originally as part of the original DA to expand the garages and things, but by going back and forth with council too, we just thought it's going to be safer just to leave the garages as is, because then we could just fix the building and fix the cracks from the original problem.
Right. I mean, we will consider whether or not there is a need for a geotechnical report.
Oh, of course,
report.
Yeah. No problem if you want a geotech report, but we do feel comfortable that the emergency works from previously, where they fixed the problem. But we're happy to check it.
Okay. Anything else from the panel? Thank you, Mr. Starr.
Thank you.
So at the conclusion of the public meeting, we'll consider this application and notify our decision on the council website as soon as may be possible. The next application, the fourth on the list, is 30 and 32 O'Brien Street, Bondi Beach. And the first speaker I have is Stephen Crowe. Come forward, please, sir. And your name is Stephen Crowe, and you're from apartment 1, 22 to 28 O'Brien Street, Bondi Beach.
That's correct, yes. I'm the tenant of the number 1, 22 to 28 O'Brien Street, and the modifications to a pair of approved semi-detached dwellings to enlarge attic storage, including additional dormer window skylights and internal staircase, I'd like to pose some objections to. Firstly, though, let me thank all the councillors for coming up this morning, and I do appreciate your time. I don't feel that the diagram, shadow diagrams, fairly represent the lighting effects that an extension to the attic space would have on my domicile. The extension would create a significant amount of diminished light throughout the day. Additionally, with regards to the dormer windows, there's no mention as to whether or not it would be frosted or unfrosted, and I'm concerned about the privacy. From the angle of the proposed modification, it appears straight down onto my lavatory and also into my bedroom. I'm willing to work with the applicant as far as privacy. I do have blinds that I can close, so that way we can share that space and have privacy between us. Unfortunately, with a Venetian blind, when you use it on an angle, the lighting still comes through from a high angle, but that when the window is pitched at a higher angle, they can also see through into that bedroom. So I'm concerned about finding a compromise there with the modification that's been proposed.
Thank you, Mr. Crowe. Any questions of Mr. Crowe? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alexandra Chockham. Come forward and have a seat, please. Your name is Alexandra Chockham, architect on behalf of the applicant.
Yeah, correct.
Yes, please go ahead.
Just a few comments, because I can't see any impact of our proposal to any neighboring properties. The shadow diagrams very clear, it's minimal impact and not really affect anybody. Relating to privacy, currently we show privacy louvers, which can be 75% transparency, or any other additional option possible as well, like frosted glass. But I think privacy louvers, it's much better. So I can't see any privacy shadow impacts. Regarding bulk and scale, again, it's quite small dormer in the middle of a building, well back in the middle of a site, so it will be nearly invisible from a street site. And next building, four-story building, our building, two-story, and attic level in the middle. Before our application, it was approved a block of unit on this site, which three-story with basement car park, which much bigger in scale and bulk, and so we reduce the scale significantly anyway. So I can't understand all issues, because it's really small addition to original project without any negative impact to neighbors. For example, even 3D picture, which not attached to a report, but was lodged as well. It's very small dormer window in the middle. So if you put a four-story building here, it will be nearly invisible from the street. And before, it was approved a block of units here, which is three-story and much bigger in scale. And we comply with the maximum height control. And floor space ratio will exceed if this attic space will be counted like habitable, which can be used under a dormer window. The floor space ratio will be above just 4.6% above maximum. But actually, if we remove one of dormer, which the owners need a storage, so if we keep only for 30, number 30 a dormer window and remove another one, we will comply completely with floor space ratio. And we will be happy with this solution as well, to keep only one dormer for one dwelling.
Could you just repeat that last point you made?
Yeah, so because if we remove one dormer on for one side and leave only for owner occupied dwelling, we will comply with floor space ratio completely. We don't need any variations to floor space space control. So, and we will be happy with this solution as well. So just keep one dormer and remove another.
I've just got one question, and that is, I'm trying to understand why a storage space in the attic, which can't be used for habitable purposes, needs to have a dormer and six skylights.
But if currently we not count it, currently we not count this space as habitable because it's a storage. But this
is for storage, it's not a habitable space.
Yeah, correct. But
well, why does it need to have a dormer and six skylights, is what I'm asking.
No, skylights we can remove, but because it's a long space, which obviously better to provide a better
lighting.
But
there are such things as electricity today. Mm. You can have lights in the attic.
Yeah, look, skylights, it's optional anyway. Can remove it. What we want to keep, it's one dormer for one dwelling, because they really need this storage space.
All right, well, I'm still at a loss to understand the reasoning, but thank you. Any more questions of Mr. Chobham? Thank you, Mr. Chobham. At the conclusion of the public meeting, we will consider this item as well as the other items and notify our decision on the council website as soon as may be possible. The next item on the agenda is apartment 4121 to 123 Wellington Street, Bondi Beach. And there's one speaker, Elena Kovalenko. Come forward, please. And your name is Elena Kovalenko, and you're the owner applicant?
That's right, yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, we're very happy with recommendation for approval. Obviously, we've been waiting for this day to go through for a long time. 9 months ago, we had addition to our family, so we don't fit in a house as it is. And it's a very small addition, it's only 9 square meters. Which don't impact any of our neighbors, and there is no objections from anyone for this addition. You can see it from the street as well because it's on a slope. So we just really hope it will go through. And if you have any questions, please ask.
So the reason that the matter is before us is that it's over the floor space ratio, so we have to consider your clause 4.6 variation, and that has to satisfy us. But is there any further questions from? Thank you, Ms. Kovalenko.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next item is 46 Glasgow Avenue, Bondi Beach, and Mr. Walter Gordon. Come forward, please, sir. Oh, look, I'm sorry, I need to take you in the wrong order. I don't need to take you in the wrong order. The first speaker is Gordon Starley. I'll come back to Mr. Gordon afterwards. I hadn't turned the page is the reason. Come forward, please. And have a seat. And your name is Gordon Starley, speaking on behalf of Annie Thomas for 37 Warners Avenue, Bondi Beach.
Correct, thank you. Panel, this is a very simple, I'll only be a quick minute. My daughter would have been speaking here, but she had a child a few weeks ago. I'm speaking on their behalf.
Yes.
They are immediately to the rear of the of subject property, so they'll be neighbours. In the amended plans and the amended DA, a fireplace was added on the boundary, shown on the architectural floor plans, but without any explanation of what fuel was intended. I noticed in the original approval that had been provided, clause 5 from memory, which under the heading domestic heaters, it said that solid fuel heating is prohibited. Our concern was, in the absence of any information on the environmental impact statement and the possibility that this may be not be a domestic heater by definition, then my daughter put in a request for this fireplace to only be allowed to burn gas or some kind of liquid fuel, but not solid fuels.
Yeah, there's a recommendation in the report from the planning officers, which we'll have to consider, that says that provision of solid fuel heating is prohibited. In this regard, the fireplaces shall use liquid fuels or gaseous fuels, such as gas, in lieu of wood, coal, or other solid fuels.
Yeah, and thank
so
you.
So if that condition is imposed, that would satisfy the concerns.
It would.
Of your
look, to be honest, I'm getting old and pedantic in my
We all are. Don't worry.
The heading domestic heaters still gives a bit of wriggle room. I mean, someone could argue, "Oh, it's not a heater; it's a fireplace." I would kind of like the heading to be domestic heaters / fireplaces, and then we'd be very happy. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Stolle? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Natalie Lau? Come forward, please.
Hi.
Have a seat. Your name is Natalie Lau from 33 Warners Avenue,
yes.
Bondi Beach.
Yep. Thanks. So obviously this is a development where we've got two semi-detached houses that are made into one. Once again, like some of the other cases we've seen here today, it appears to be another example of building to the maximum envelope. The only difference being is that it's amongst a sea of other semi-detached homes. And that's something that's particularly important because it means it's a much more highly dense area where those in the immediate vicinity, their privacy is compromised, particularly with balconies looking onto neighbouring properties or yards, particularly the yards, because that's everybody in the area only has a small piece of outdoor space, and when you've got other people overlooking that area, that affects the privacy. So I just wanted to say here today that I support conditions 2A to 2F to be included so that we can all have access to privacy. I also just wanted to reiterate the previous speaker's concerns over the fireplace. Once again, it does appear to be that there are concerns over that fireplace would be something that would be burning all the time. You've got neighbouring properties trying to hang clothes out on the line, and that impacting on the on that amenity of use of space. So just wanted to support the 2A to 2F to be included. Thanks.
Sorry, 2A to F. Can I just
yep.
make an explanation? Those conditions which were imposed on original approval of 2A to F inclusive, what the report essentially says is that the amended plans that have been lodged in support of this application have satisfied each and every condition 2A to F, so that the new plans should, and we'll check on it, satisfy each of those subclauses 2A to 2F in the new plans.
So I couldn't see that in the plans, so...
Right, OK, well, we'll have to check it. We'll have to make sure that we're satisfied.
Like, for example, there were the last set of plans which were attached to the appendices of this agenda, which showed, for example, on the western facade, the removal of a concrete screening. So
yes.
My understanding is that those plans are the ones that are support are what the council supports. Is that your understanding as well?
I'll have to check on it, and
okay.
we will. But there was one condition 3 about concrete screening. That's separate condition 3, which they are asking to be deleted. The recommendation of the council is that the council doesn't, officers do not support that recommendation, but we'll have to give it some consideration, of course.
Okay. Was there a particular reason why the concrete screening was to be removed?
It's, well, the application, it's part of the application.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Walter Gordon. Thank you. Have a seat. Your name is Walter Gordon on behalf of the applicant.
That's correct. Look, just firstly, I'd just like to respond to the
yes.
Submissions just made here now. No objection is made to this fireplace. I mean, whatever conditions it is, that if it's gas, happy with gas. I mean, if it's domestic, I'm not sure I understand what the domestic heater means, but it would be gas like a normal barbecue would be put to a gas, whether it be a cylinder or whether it be
so
a formal.
So you accept the
correct
condition that's
yep.
suggested?
Yep, no problem
okay.
with that. just in relation to the comments made about the building being a maximum envelope, I don't think that's the case. We're lower than the permissible heights by a considerable lot.
Well, I mean, this is a modification application, so we're confined to the modification.
Understand that. So, okay, just in terms of the other issues, I think there was a comment made in relation to conditions 2A to F. Obviously, 2A to 2G, I mean, we've incorporated those into the modification plans. So I'm quite comfortable with that we've addressed all those issues. In relation to condition 3, look, that was really, we've put in a fixed wall there. I mean, that was really to improve the privacy to the adjoining neighbour. That's why we've put in a fixed wall there. I mean, if it's to do with maybe design, then I'm happy to go, let's say we'll put in a fixed wall for 1.8 metres, say, to still continue with that privacy and continue that 50% on that one side. The southern elevation, which is the main frontage, we're happy to keep open. We're not changing it. So maybe the condition needs to be amended as such to have 50% of the western elevation to be solid and then unsolid, and the full frontage of the southern facade to remain as the current DA. That's what I'm thinking there.
Right.
In terms of, though, condition 2F relating to the setback of the garage. Obviously, we are supporting the report in relation to that condition. Just importantly, I really want to say that I think the main issue here is that we're looking to basically have 900 metres for the setback to the garage and pull the first, that second level back in and retain the 1.5 metres. That's what we're looking for. In terms of solar access, it's the top level that, that grants the solar access to the neighbour to the east. And I noticed there was no objection from the neighbour here on that issue. Importantly, I think, may have been missed the first time with this application in front of the panel, that really the Environmental Planning Assessment Act clearly stipulates that a condition cannot be imposed that's greater than the DCP. And the DCP says 900 millimetre setback from the first and second floor. And we're happy right here to say, well, we'll meet halfway. We'll say 900 for the garage and 1500 for the first floor. So we're really not ignoring any concerns that I thought the neighbour would be here on the eastern side, because it's really that second floor that dominates in terms of providing solar access. We're not changing that at all. Your solar access doesn't get impacted by the 900 on the ground floor. So that's sort of where we stand. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Gordon? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At the conclusion of the public meeting, we will consider this and the other applications and notify our decision on the council website. 5 Nancy Street, North Bondi. Mr. Vaughan Milligan, please come forward. And for the record, your name is Vaughan Milligan, town planner on behalf of the applicant.
That's right, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, and committee members, for the opportunity to address you this afternoon. I'm here on behalf of the property owners and the builder, seeking your support of the officer's recommendation. We've attempted throughout our process to work with council staff. We've made some amendments to the design what we think come up with a good result. And I think that's reflected in the officer's support. We're aware of the conditions that have been recommended in the application before you, and we have no issue with those conditions. And I'd be happy to respond to any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Milligan.
Yes, I just have one question. In terms of the shared driveway, which is a good outcome, is there an opportunity to increase the permeable and landscaping area in the front yards and perhaps for the planting of canopy trees?
I'd imagine there would be, and why I say that I think is the carports are currently set quite a distance apart, I think, and the condition suggesting that there may need to be some design changes. So I'm guessing they'll have to come closer to be workable, and that will probably allow for the front two corners to support more planting.
So you wouldn't object to a condition about that then?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Milligan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Conclusion of the public meeting, we'll consider this application and notify our decision on the council website. It brings us to 1A Rena Street, North Bondi, and is Leanne Katz present? Please come forward. Have a seat.
Thank you.
And your name is Leanne Katz. You're an architect on behalf of the applicant. Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to address you. My name's Leanne Katz. I'm the architect for 1 Arena Street. I'm representing the applicant and owners of the property. We've reviewed the council assessment of the Section 8.3 review and the proposed conditions, and we're very happy with the recommended approval. There have been no objections from neighbours during this process, and we're presenting today in the event that any members of the panel would like to ask any questions about the proposal.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Ms. Katz? Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thanks for
Thank you for coming along.
No problem.
At the conclusion of the public meeting, we will consider this application and notify our decision on the council website. Brings us to the last matter in the list for today, and that is 3 Gilgandra Road, North Bondi. And the first speaker is Mr. Anthony Boscovitz.
Thank you, Chair. I might come up.
And Mr. Eli Greshite.
Yeah, and Mr. Black can also come up. We might as well address you all together.
All right.
He's the architect, town planner. Just before we start, we might just distribute some documentation that we provided by email yesterday. If I can hand them up.
No, you can't.
I can't?
No, because these documents comprise, I understand, or we are told at least by Mr. Greshite on site this morning, amended plans which were lodged with the council at 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. Nobody's had the opportunity to even look at them, and whilst I have no objection to being told generally what is in them, we will not accept amended plans at this point of time.
Mr. Chair, might I add that there are issues here with respect to procedural fairness that I'll take you through, and that's not a criticism. On the 22nd of May, Council requested some amended plans with respect to four separate items. Those four items being insufficient information regarding the extent of demolition, overlooking and privacy impacts for occupants of the neighbouring property. It's unclear how the site is subdivided. I'm using the exact words, to the side access lane, and two parking spaces are proposed for new rear dwellings, but there is no parking identified for the front dwelling. Thereafter, an email was received by the planner from Miss Bridget McNamara on about the 27th to say that once we receive those plans, we'll have further discussions if required, and that's the wording in the email. Thereon, on the 4th of June, those amended plans were provided with a summary as to how they deal with those four issues. And thereon, on the 7th of June, we received an email from Ellen Nicholson, who was the planner assessing this issue, saying that we do not consider the annotated plans adequately overcome the issues raised. The application will be taken to the local planning panel on the 26th. Today is my last day at Waverley, so please direct any further queries to Bridget. Might I add that now we've received the report, and that was only published late last week, the reasons for refusal are substantially more vast than those issues that are raised. And in fact, the majority of those issues weren't raised in that initial email. If we had known that issues of stormwater, landscaping, the 4.6 and FSR were issues outstanding, then we would have dealt with them at that point or with that further consultation that Ms. McNamara raised in that email. As a result of having seen that report, and I only saw it and was engaged last Friday, over the weekend we prepared those amended plans to address some of the issues such as landscaping, such as floor space ratio, in which we prepared an amended clause 4.6 because there seemed to be a criticism. But if we had been made aware of that earlier, I'm not saying that the council has to or is required to make us aware of that, but if they were going to, on the 22nd of May, make us aware of certain issues, then in my respectful submission, they should have taken the chance to make us aware of any other issues that might have caused an issue that would lead to refusal. So whilst I understand that these were only received yesterday, there's only a limited amount of time that we get between receiving the reasons for refusal and then being able to provide you with those plans. And in my respectful submission, they were provided at the very first opportunity we had.
4 p.m. yesterday was the first opportunity.
We only saw the recommendations published on, I think they get published on a Thursday. I saw them on a Friday. We worked over the weekend to have them reviewed, including Mr. Greshite, who had a family member who passed away. So I could only get amended clause 4.6 on Monday.
Look, Mr. Boscovitz, nothing that you have said changes my view that we should not receive the amended plans and the circumstances. I do need to record that your name is Anthony Boscovitz. You're a solicitor on behalf of the applicant. Bearing in mind what you have raised, I would give you leave to appear. And we have Mr. Eli Greshite, a town planner on behalf of the applicant the architect.
And we consider that it's too difficult for the panel to be able to assess those matters at a late stage, and thus my correspondence has sought for the deferral of this matter.
Okay.
We think that it's approvable, but we understand that it is difficult for the panel, so our primary goal here today is to have the matter.
It's also difficult for the council because we don't have the opportunity to
have a
council's views on the amendments.
We understand that.
They may say it's fine, they may say it's not.
We understand that, but we consider that we didn't have an opportunity to respond to these issues that were finally raised in the refusal. So we're not adverse or against having this matter deferred so that these matters can be addressed as part of a the further assessment of this application.
All right,
if
I
can
understand.
Take you through,
we will consider your application for a deferral.
If I can take you through just some of the reasons for refusal, I can ask Mr. Gishon, and I do ask the indulgence of the committee to raise some things. With respect to stormwater, landscaping, and the issue of the accurate draft strata plan, those are all matters that can be taken into account as a part of a CC application if required. Landscaping, obviously, you went on site today, and there's not much change to the plan with respect to the hard stand and with respect to how that might be addressed. With respect to a draft strata plan, as is with any other strata plan, that can be a condition that prior to OC that a draft strata plan has to be provided to the council for sign off and their registration with the Land Registry Services New South Wales, as it used to be called the Land Titles Office. I'm quite happy to be calling it either. So there are a number of these things that either should be addressed at CC stage or as by way of a condition of consent, or if the council required that additional information, we can provide it as part of a deferral. With respect to the other reasons for refusal, I'll allow Mr. Gishai to address those, and I'll conclude.
Thank you. You may be able to turn your microphone on. I don't know. You can.
That's okay.
Don't worry. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gishon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, as per indications when we met on site, the building itself will largely remain the same. The only real change is it's being raised up by about 1.8 metres. It seems to me, apart from the surprise issue regarding the FSR, the council's key concern was relating to privacy and amenity. I'd like to just point out one portion in the council's report in relation to privacy. It says the proposed first floor balcony is 2.7 metres squared in size. As you'll remember when I showed you on site, the deck, the first floor balcony, yes, is going to be substantially reduced in size. It also says the ground floor decking is 22.6 square metres and accompanied by privacy screening. It is not considered to give rise to privacy impacts. I should point out too, it complies with the shadow controls as specified in council's report, so we are really struggling to understand what the actual privacy issues are in relation to the adjoining property at number 5. And we have proposed a solution in terms of the existing dwelling at the front by providing obscure glazing on the northern facing windows. We have this in the bundle of documents as a possible solution. I should point out it complies with the LEP height control. It complies with the DCP wall height control also. There's also a section in the report in relation to setbacks. It specifies, this is council's report, it says, it is not considered to give rise to any detrimental amenity impacts for the residents of the RFB. So presumably that's the building at the back where the neighbours objected. So we're really struggling to understand what the actual issues are in relation to this application.
Thank you.
And just in conclusion, Mr. Chair, so if the issues are just a lack of information with respect to stormwater or draft strata plan, how parking's allocated on the site, the type of landscaping, the size of landscaping, etc. We don't see those issues as being insurmountable. This is the first time we knew about them, but they can't be insurmountable because it would appear that from the perspective of how one deals with those LEP controls, yes, there's an FSR non-compliance, but we do have an amended 4.6 if our 4.6 is deemed to be not satisfactory. Noting, however, that we are within the same envelope but for the increase in height. There are shadow diagrams that demonstrate we comply with overshadowing to the southern neighbour at the RFB. The report in itself says that there are no overlooking of privacy issues. However, those can ordinarily be dealt with by way of a condition with respect to louvers or translucent glazing or a higher sill height. So amenity impacts and those issues that would be a consideration under 4.15 can be dealt with and do not seem to be insurmountable. So if the council just needs more information, we can provide that, and that's what we endeavoured to do prior to this. So we ask that a deferral be granted so that if there's any deficiency with respect to information, we can provide it very shortly so that we can solve this issue.
As you're aware, there is also the provision of Section 8.2 of the Act, which allows for a review of a determination and then amended plans as part of that process and supplementary documentation can be provided. I've just got one question, and that is, what was it originally approved as, or what is the rear building structure in the...
We have the approved plans here.
We've got two approved plans. One seems to be as approved plan 13 August 1991, and then there seems to be a construction plan 5 February 1992. Happy to hand those up.
No, just
Mr. Gashite dealt with that in his statement of environmental effects. Yeah. Essentially, it looks like it was a rear dwelling, but it... But
what, it was it a secondary dwelling? I'm just trying to understand what the approval was for.
It is, at the moment, it's a 69 square metres, so technically if it was approved now, it wouldn't be a granny flat. And if you recall, when I showed you on site, the whole ground level is garage and storage, so it's technically not included as GFA. It's only the above level.
I think I saw a notation on the approval of that was actually approved as a dual occupancy all the way back then. But even if the application is to make it into a dual occupancy now, obviously there's no contentions in the council's report with respect to land size or whatnot, because we comply with the minimum size for a dual occupancy, whether it be attached or detached. In this case, it's detached. I think it was approved as a dual occupancy. That's what it looks like. It is too large to be a
structure. We'll have a look at the document. Mm.
And yeah. Can I just ask, was the structure there when you sought approval at the time?
In 1991?
Yeah, was the structure there. If we go back to aerial photographs, will we see the structure on the site then?
I don't know. We have the architect too who prepared the original plans, as you can see there. Do you remember, Wayne?
No. I can ask my ex-partner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the members of the panel? Thank you very much, all of you. As with the other applications, at the conclusion of the public meeting, which will be shortly, we'll consider this and the other applications, and we'll notify our decision on the council website as soon as may be possible.
Can we grab those back? We don't have another set of those approvals. Sorry to say.
Oh, you need to have them back.
Well, we're happy if the council takes
them. No, it's okay. You can have them back. We can pass them back.
Or we can...
You may need to hang on to them. And I'll close the public meeting with thanks to all of the speakers at 1:10 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.